Welcome to the Confidence for Rockstar Marketers podcast. I'm Anna Iverson, a story-driven copywriter who helps you turn your stories into compelling marketing campaigns that generate obsessed mega fans, not just one-off transactions.
And I'm Helen Walker, a no-fluff mindset coach who helps you throw away the beliefs that are holding you back, so you have the confidence to make your most audacious entrepreneurial dreams a reality.
On this show, we'll introduce you to the latest marketing strategies from cutting-edge industry experts, and we'll teach you how to overcome your demons so you can implement these strategies in your business right away.
If you're looking for straight-talking, no-fluff advice you can put into action right away, stick around and let's dive into the show. Welcome to the Confidence for Rockstar Marketeers podcast.
I'm Anna, a copywriter who geeks out on telling emotionally charged stories that get you paid.
And I'm Helen, a mindset coach with a passion for helping entrepreneurs overcome their limiting beliefs so they can scale their business.
On this show, we'll combine everything we know about online marketing and mindset so you have the tools to get visible and attract more clients to your business.
And how to overcome the mindset blocks that hold you back from taking consistent action to show up for your audience. Over the coming weeks, we'll also introduce you to some of our favourite marketing and mindset experts who'll give you their take on how to scale your business, as well as calling us out for being the Yorkshire tea-swilling northern monkeys that we are.
So today, we want to help you get to know us better by sharing a bit about what we do, as well as some of our stories about how we wound up where we are today. So, Helen, I'd love to give our amazing audience a flavour of who you are and what you're all about. So I know you weren't always a coach. Why don't you share a bit about what life was like for you before coaching and how you got started?
So no, I haven't always been a coach, but that actually now seems an absolute lifetime ago that I used to work in recruitment. And before coaching, I'd always done recruitment for about 15 years, which is brilliant. It was great at the time. It was certainly great for the bank balance. But it didn't do anything for my soul. It was one of those jobs that once you'd learned how to do it, that was it. There was kind of no learning and no development. And although I worked with some amazing people, I was just so bored. So it got to a point where I just thought, in fact, I remember vividly sat at my desk. I was working for myself. I'd set up my own recruitment business. Sat at my desk and I had my head on the desk, and I've no idea to this day if I was sat there for 5 minutes or 5 hours. I cannot send another CV. I cannot talk to anybody about this same job again. It was so monotonous. And I just knew there and then, when I did finally lift my head off my desk, that maybe this was time to do something about it. And I'd spoke for ages about, you know, doing something else, and I just had this thought that I was trapped, that recruitment was all I could do and my skills weren't transferable. And some of that was to do with the organisations that I'd worked for, that it was quite a bit of a cult. You know, you did think that if you left, then, you know, the words or the phrase career suicide was branded around a little bit, which does impact, you know, your thoughts and abilities that, you know, can I go and do something else? And to cut a very long story short, I went to see a coach, and she asked me, you know, if I could wave a magic wand and you could do anything, what would you do? And I said, I'd like to do what you do. And she said, what's stopping you? And I had this massive list of, well, I can't do this, I can't do this. And she was like, it's just rubbish. You're just telling yourself a big pack of lies. And then when I realised that's when I retrained and made the change. And thank God I did, because I never have those days now where I hate work or I put my head on the desk and just think I can't do this. I absolutely love what I do now.
So what was it that made you decide to go all in on coaching as your next career step? Because that's quite a big change, going from recruitment into coaching.
I mean, when I look back now, it is a massive jump, you know, a massive change. And people used to say, oh, you're really brave, like giving up one career, because it was a very lucrative career. You know, it was, you got good salary, good bonuses, but I in my head I was going to make the transition. I was going to do recruitment part-time and coaching part-time, and I did that for a while, but I just still had this it's sucking the life out of me. It's sucking the soul out of me. And I just thought, there's no bonus or no commission check that can make up for all these. I just felt like I was wasting weeks and months and years of my life doing something that I hated. So I just thought, do you know what? If I was building up my coaching business, but of course it was slow because I was still doing recruitment as well. And I thought, if I'm going to build this business up, I just need to go all in. So one day I filled the last jobs and I just said to my clients, look, this is what I'm doing. I shut the doors on my recruitment business and I just went full throttle coaching. And I've never really looked back. I've never done another recruitment brief, never wanted to, and probably never will.
I bet it felt amazing when you spoke to that last client and you were like, right, that is it. When I shut down my computer today, I never have to do this again. I bet that was the best feeling ever.
It was amazing. I actually went on holiday the next day for a week and I thought, right, I'm going to have a week where I don't do anything and I just recharge my batteries because, like I say, recruitment had just sucked the life out of me. And I went on holiday with the plans to do nothing. And all I did was think about my coaching business because I just got this new motivation and this new fire. And I just literally sat around the pool on my phone just with ideas. You know, I set up a Instagram account and did little things like that. And just all these ideas were just pouring out of me whilst I was on holiday.
That's awesome. And that's definitely a sign that you're on the right track. If you're on holiday and you're excited to be doing work and you really want to focus on it because it's got you all fired up.
Oh, definitely.
So you work primarily with female entrepreneurs. What was it in particular that drew you to support women?
I mean, obviously I am one. That was a big draw. But no, in all seriousness, it was because, you know, I'm not saying that men do not suffer with confidence or, you know, struggle. But it just seemed to me that there was this talented, creative women who had these great ideas who were held back just because of this little thing called confidence. And it just seemed to impact women on a greater scale than it did men. And it just seemed really kind of unjust that all these women were held back, where men were kind of, or in my experience, men were kind of overinflating what they were good at and didn't seem to have any problem, you know, shouting about, you know, what they were offering and how good it was, where women were, you know, had more talent and were more creative and had better products and services than some of these men. But they were too afraid to go, do you know what, I've got this amazing product and it could really help you. So I just felt compelled to help this group of women. And I know as well how much it held me back when I was working in recruitment, this lack of confidence. And I worked with a lot of men, again, who were quite, you know, in your face and didn't, you know, had all this confidence. So I think part of me was a little bit, you know, I'll show all those men and I'll help this group of women. But it's just something I'm just really passionate about, is helping women, you know, have this amazing life, this amazing business, just by these few simple tweaks, these few simple strategies that you can implement over time that are going to have this massive impact and transform everything, not only about your business, but your life as well.
And what do you think has been the most satisfying thing for you over the years when you helped those women to grow their businesses?
I think a lot of women will come to me because they want to make more money in their business, which we all do. You know, we all want to earn more and work less and have more time with our families. But actually, when they've gone through the program with me, they're all making more money. But that's not the thing that they are most pleased about. It's just the fact that they now, they don't have this voice in their head that controls them anymore. They still have negative thoughts because that's how we're wired. They're never going to go away, but they know how to manage them now. So rather than these women having a day when they are held back by all this just crap that's been going on in their heads, this voice that they can't do something or they're not good enough, that, you know, goes, or it becomes really quiet, and they can just pretty much do anything that they want. So money is a byproduct of that. But like I say, it just doesn't affect their business. They're just more confident at home. They're more confident with their friends, just in life in general. They enjoy their business more. And to me, that is the biggest kind of motivator to help anyone, the money will come, but it's just that, oh, life's a lot easier now.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that it spills over into the rest of their lives as well. So they come to you with this thinking that the problem is money and that they want more money, but actually that's a tiny symptom of a much wider problem. But then the solution has this impact that flows out into everything, and that for you, that must be super satisfying.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And I know firsthand how, you know, because everything that I teach and coach is what I've done myself. So I know exactly how they're going to feel when they get to the end of the program. So it's so satisfying. I know exactly how they'll feel.
But that must also, in a way, breed frustration when people don't take action on your advice, because you know that if they just did the thing that you're telling them to do, how awesome the result's going to be and how they're going to feel. And then you're watching the people that don't take action, like, oh God, if you only knew how amazing this is going to be for you.
Yeah, it does. I would say it's, when I first started coaching, I used to try and help my friends and go, oh, you know, you need to do this, this and this. And of course, they would never listen. And that's why you should never coach anybody that doesn't, you know, sign up for coaching, because it's not going to work. But I, when I first started, because I was really eager, I wanted, you know, anybody who expressed an interest in coaching, I'm like, hey, yeah, you know, come and do it. And that's when I used to be most frustrated, because I was letting in people who weren't ready to do it, and they probably shouldn't have been doing coaching. You know, they just weren't ready to make that change. Where now I'm much more strict on who I work with, and that's why there's an application process. Not because, you know, I'm kind of high and mighty and it's by application only. It's not because of that. It's because unless you are ready, unless you are in the right frame of mind, it's just a waste of money. You may as well flush your money down the toilet. It's a waste of your time.
So do you think that people, they almost, like, there's so many free resources out there. Do you think people need to put money on the table? They need to have skin in the game, and they need to make, like, quite a significant financial investment in their coaching in order to prove that their head's in the right place and they're ready? Do you think that's a part of it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like you say, you could sit for hours on YouTube and watch, you know, loads of stuff I teach, but you just don't take action on it, because as soon as that video is finished, you think, oh, that were a good idea. And then you go off and the kids want something, tea needs to be made, there's a phone call, and you've forgotten about it. And like you say, unless you put, you know, skin in the game, if you put money on the table, you're invested. You know, you are then going, I've spent all this money, I'm going to make sure it works. So absolutely, you can watch all the free stuff in the world, unless you are really disciplined, which most of us aren't. And that's not, you know, we're not blaming people and saying you're not disciplined. Just life takes over, you know, and other things happen. But unless you've got some, you know, you've got a reason to do it, I've spent all this money. But also, when you're watching free stuff, there's nobody going, well, did you do that? What did you do? Why didn't you do it? And that's what a coach will do, is keep you accountable so that you actually do this work. Because there's no point in going, here's a load of stuff, this is how you become confident, and just expecting somebody to go and, all right, I'll consume all of this and I'll implement it all myself. It's actually really hard to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I know from back in my skating days, I used to train, but every session I'd have 50% of the session I'd be just training by myself and practicing, and then the other 50% I'd have a one-to-one with my coach. And in the half an hour that I was working by myself, I'd just be fluffing around. I wouldn't be breaking a sweat, I wouldn't be pushing myself. And then as soon as I had the coach, she was like, right, we're doing your routine 5 times until your legs are about to fall off, until you can feel the burn. If you're not feeling the burn, you're not working hard enough. And I would never have done that on my own, because you just say, yeah, I'm doing it, I'm skating, I'm practicing. Whereas you're not, really. You're not hurting yourself and doing what's necessary. So, like, there's so much value in having someone just to hold you to account, definitely. Okay, so what would you say is the biggest mindset block for most entrepreneurs when it comes to scaling their business?
I would say it's about not feeling good enough, or not feeling worthy enough. And again, this is something I can totally relate to, because that is exactly how I was. It's just this feeling of, you're not good enough, you don't deserve that success, everybody else is better than you. And actually, you know, now I am a coach and I see so many women who come to me and we look at what is their underlying limiting belief. Everybody's got the same belief. Everybody's got the same belief that everybody else is better than them. Everybody else is doing more, or, you know, more intelligent or better looking, or we've all got the same worry.
I wonder where that comes from. It's weird that it seems to affect everybody as well. And I remember having a conversation not that long ago with a friend of mine who, she works for a hedge fund. She's been there for her whole career. She's amazing. She graduated from Oxford. She's like the smartest person I've ever met, but she hates her job. And so I said, well, why don't you become a career coach or do something like that? Because she studied psychology at university, so she's like really into all this stuff. And she said, oh, no, why would anybody take my advice? I was like, you work for one of the biggest hedge funds in the country. Like, they don't take just anybody onto their graduate program. So, like, you're obviously super smart. And yet she just doesn't believe that she has what it takes, which it's crazy.
I know. I could talk about this for like a week of where this comes from. But essentially it's, you know, your parents, God love them, the messages you get from there. Caregivers in general, teachers, but society in general. You know, we get all these messages. We are bombarded with millions of messages every day about how we should be. You know, marketing, for example, you know.
Oh, we are bastards, aren't we?
There's some companies, you know, you can think of them who, you know, if you don't have this product or you don't have this kind of house or you don't have this kind of car or this watch, that you are somehow less than, or, you know, if you are somebody who is not motivated by money, then you are somehow some kind of loser, or, you know, and on all these messages, these millions of little subtle messages that we get shape us and how we think. And often we don't really have what we want. We think about, well, if I don't do that, then they'll think I'm this. And we're just on autopilot, guided by all this information that we get.
I know. I think sometimes people don't give themselves the time to sit down and process all of that and think that actually whatever beliefs they have or whatever stories they're telling themselves, that they aren't the truth. You just, and I was guilty of this as well until really recently, that you just assume that whatever you're thinking is the truth. And honestly, it was like this life-changing realization when I was like, I can turn that thought off. I've just made that up, and I can tell that to shut up, and I can put a different thought in there, or I could just think about something else entirely. Whereas I went through, like, until I was 35, thinking that whatever I was thinking, it just was.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's changed everything, and it's been such a massive realization. So yeah, I can totally see why it has a massive impact on people. Okay, so one last question. If you could give our listeners just one actionable tip that they could take away so that they can show up like a confident rock star, what would that be?
That would be to every day live outside your comfort zone, just doing one thing. So every day, just do one thing that scares you to death. So, you know, if it's in your business, you know, what is it that you need to do that you don't do because you're terrified of? And for my clients, it's normally something like talking about your prices, putting them on your website, launching a new product, or setting up an Instagram account, or going live on Facebook. It's whatever it is. It doesn't have to be massive, just something small that you think, I really don't want to do that, and do it. Every single day, plan to do something that makes you sweat a little bit. Because eventually, if you keep stepping out of that comfort zone, this what I call your stretch zone, where, you know, the tasks that really scare you to death, eventually, the more you do them, that becomes your comfort zone. So eventually, what's scaring you today, you know, in a month's time, you'll be like, nah, don't matter, just do it.
Yeah, that totally resonates with me as well, because you'll know as well, and probably a few people, if anyone knows me already, will know that I'm not somebody that feels comfortable speaking on camera. And I can remember the first Facebook Live I did, I literally hovered my finger over the red button of doom for about 10 minutes. And I was sweating. I had wet patches under my armpits. It was so gross. My face was purple. I was breaking out in hives. And I was like, no, I'm just going to do it. Because if I don't, this is going to hold me back forever. And now, like, I did it. And then as soon as I put down the pen, I was like, I'm going to go and have to lie down for 10 minutes to get over it. And I think it took me about 3 hours for my heart rate to come down. Whereas now, I'm literally, all right, just hand me the phone, whatever. And when it comes to doing presentations in other people's groups, in memberships and stuff, I hated those. But actually now, they're really no big deal and I quite enjoy them. Like, I find them quite enjoyable, which if you'd asked me that 12 months ago even, I would have said that was impossible. And you're so right. All that comes from just like, every day saying, the idea of this makes me want to die a little bit, but yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. And then it stops feeling like that. And it's just incredible. It changes everything.
It's amazing that you say you can go from absolutely like wanting to die to then, with a bit of practice, enjoying it. And when I first start working with my clients, they don't believe me. And I go, just trust me that you're gonna love this one day. And they're like, I really don't think so. But they do. They always do.
Yeah, it's amazing. Because I hated public speaking. I hated presentation. I used to write a presentation. I do all the PowerPoint slides about 3 weeks ahead of the presentation, and then I would read it over again to the point of insanity, and then I would sit there for an hour before the presentation with a glass of wine next to me, needing a bit of Dutch courage to get on. Whereas now, well, first of all, I'm too busy to do that. I don't have time to prepare to that extent. So sorry if anyone invites me to your group. My presentation is going to be a load of old guff, but I'd just write it an hour before and then just go on and wing it, and it's always fine. And everybody is much more responsive to that because you're relaxed, you're enjoying yourself, and it becomes not about you then. It's about just delivering them something that is useful, which yeah, I think makes such a big difference.
But don't you find the ones that you don't practice and don't put loads, you know, over plan, they're the best. The ones that you just go, God, I've got 10 minutes before I go on. What do I need to talk about? You're just talking from the heart. You're just talking about what you know. And it's real rather than, so today we are going to talk about this. And it's so boring.
And also you realise as well how much you do know without yes, notes as well. Like you can talk. I did one last week. Which was like, really sorry. I'm going to have to ask you to wind it up because time's getting on a bit here. And I was like, oh man, that's so good.
Gone for another hour.
Slightly embarrassing, but anyway, right, thanks. Thanks loads for sharing all that. And I'm sure our listeners are dying to know more about how they can banish their confidence gremlins. So do you want to just share your website address as well so everyone knows where to find you?
So it's www.york-walker.com.
Awesome. So yeah, make sure you go and check her out there and go and see Helen's lovely smiling face.
Don't be thinking, don't be rushing off on it. I've got some questions for you. Hang on. I want to know all about you now. So, you weren't always this fancy, schmancy copywriter, were you? I hear you were a bit of a skater. You mentioned this. So, tell me about this early career and how on earth do you start off as a skater and then turn copywriter?
Well, back when I was at school, I was always a bit of a word nerd, but not in English. I hated English language. I hated English literature. There were two of my least favourite subjects. But what I loved was foreign languages. So just understanding all the grammar and all those kind of rules and stuff and picking out the perfect word to give you the right energy for what you're trying to communicate. I loved all that, just not in English because we never actually learned any of that. We just learned how to read the study guide for Hamlet. And you weren't allowed to, I remember you weren't allowed to have any of your own ideas. I don't know if it was like this at your school, but you'd go into a lesson and then they'd say, like, oh, analyse this text. And you'd come up with some analysis because basically whatever those analyses are, they're always like bollocks made up stuff anyway. So I was like, well, this is what I think the symbolism is. And the teacher would flick through her study guide and go, yeah, no.
That's not in my course notes. Sorry.
So that just killed my love of English. I've always been a massive reader, so I just used to read for pleasure on my own. But anyway, that was a bit of a digression. So actually, my early career after I left university, I studied French and Italian, and I ended up working at an investment bank because basically they were looking for somebody that could speak to their Italian clients. And funnily enough, there's only about 3 people in this country that can speak Italian, because it's not the most useful commercial language out there. But it landed me the job in the investment bank, which I did for almost 10 years until I had my children. But when I was working in the bank, I used to start work at 6:45 in the morning. So I was waking up at 5:30 every day to get to work. And I wasn't getting home until 7:30, 8:00 at night. And it just, there was no way I could do that around my children. And I didn't want to be one of those parents that like had an overnight nanny, which a lot of the women in the bank did. They had a living. Because they were like, a lot of people were traveling in from Oxfordshire, so they were leaving the house at 5:00 in the morning.
Oh, crikey.
And then they weren't getting back until 9:00 at night, so they would literally never see their families. And I just thought, I can't do that. So I quit my job and looked after my children for 5 years before, if I'm going to be completely honest, I got a bit bored.
Really?
I love my children to pieces, but there's only so many times you can play with Duplo before your brain starts to melt.
You're telling me you can't watch Peppa Pig all day?
I do actually quite like Peppa Pig, I've got to say. I quite like the sarcastic humour, because it's the kind of that grown-ups can appreciate, whereas the children don't get it. So I do actually quite like a bit of Peppa. Paw Patrol, can't stand it, but I've always got time for Peppa. I basically started a mum blog, because that's what you do when you like writing and you've got children. But what I realised was that the only way to monetize a mum blog was either having those pay-per-click adverts embedded in your website, which generate about 0.00001p a month. So that wasn't doing much for my bank balance. Or to go after, I say, Bird's Eye Chicken would be looking for people to promote their chicken dippers. And you get hundreds and hundreds of mum blogs all go, oh, me, I want to promote your chicken dippers. And first of all, I've never eaten a chicken dipper in my life. So I couldn't really promote it from a place of honesty, because I wouldn't feed that stuff to my children. No offense to anyone that does. But also they would pay you like a tenner to write a blog post about chicken dippers. And again, you're competing against hundreds, if not thousands of people for your slice of a £10 payout. And like, there's a lot of work that goes into those promotions, and it just didn't pay. So I wanted to find another way to make some more money online. And I ended up setting up a website which was designed to help business owners find a VA. And it was going really well. It was gaining loads of momentum. But it started to morph into a recruitment agency. And Helen will know this, because we talked a lot about recruitment during that time. And she was like, honestly, this is going to suck your soul dry. And she was so right. So what I realised was the bit about it that I loved was doing all the marketing and writing the copy. So I just thought, why don't I go all in on this? Because I was doing well with the marketing side of it. I managed to build a load of traction from thin air. And so I thought, well, why don't I do this bit? Because I'm clearly all right at it, and I could get good at it if I focus all my energy on it. And that was a very, very roundabout way of explaining why I do what I do.
And you, I mean, have you always been good at writing, or is it something that you can learn?
I've always been interested in language. I wouldn't say I've always been good at writing. I used to love doing translations when I was at university, because you had to be really particular about word choice. So I could honestly sit on thesaurus.com for hours, swapping one word out for another, because I just love that, which is not necessarily everyone's passion, but I really enjoy it. The thing is that when I was at school, I was always told by my teachers that I was a terrible creative writer. And to an extent, that's probably still true. I could never write a fiction novel. I couldn't come up with an idea for a whole book from nothing. But what I really like about copywriting is that a lot of it is based on frameworks. So you're using tried and tested methods that other people have used. And I'm not talking about templates. Templated copy is awful. But having a structure that you can work around, and boxes that you can put it all in. So you've got, I guess, like a starting point, a springboard for your creativity that I can work with really well. And it's sort of, it's a really nice balance between science, psychology, and language that blends all of my interests together. But I'm definitely not naturally a good writer, I wouldn't say. It's something that I've had to work really hard at, and I still work really hard at. I'm constantly taking courses and trying to improve. But yeah, it's totally learnable. You just have to commit to doing the work. It's not like, it's not easy. You can't click your fingers and suddenly become a great writer.
And do you think everybody can learn to be a good writer? Because I'm always in amazement when you go, Helen, yeah, that's good, but why don't you try and write it this way? And I'm like, oh my God, that's so much better. You've just like rejigged it and add like another little bit. And I'm like, that's brilliant. So can everybody do it? Or is it just some people who have this knack of doing it?
Well, I don't think there's such a thing as a born writer. I think there are people that are born with an interest in writing and communicating more so than others. So those people will be more likely to commit the time and the effort and the energy to getting it right. Or if you're somebody that just isn't interested, for example, my accountant loves numbers. She loves doing the spreadsheets. I can't stand any of that stuff. So I'm very happy to palm that off on her. And she said to me, oh my God, I just don't know how you could do this all day. It would drive me bananas. I can't stand it. And so I look at her and think, but it's so interesting. Whereas what she does makes my brain switch off because it's so boring to me. So I think it's not that you can't learn to do it. Anybody can learn to do it, but you've got to be interested enough to commit to learn, because it is work. I'm not one of those people that goes, yeah, anybody can do it. I'm going to give you three steps that are going to turn you into a seven-figure copywriter in 5 minutes, because that's a lie. Like, nobody can get good at this without practice. But if you're willing to practice and you're willing to like think critically about the way that you're writing and the way that other people write, then definitely anybody can do it.
And I can imagine, you know, if you've got a business and a couple of kids and you're juggling everything, and time is not your friend, when you've got to, you know, like anything, if you want to learn it, you've got to put the time in. So I can imagine people going, oh, I've not got time, I'll just bang anything out. So why is it beneficial for a business to write really good copy?
Fundamentally, if you don't have good copy, nobody is going to look at your marketing. And if you don't market, you don't have a business, because how are you going to attract clients? And but even more so now in COVID, like in the past, a year ago, you could go to a networking event and you could do face-to-face marketing that way. And that's a very effective way to market. But obviously now that COVID's hit, we can't hang out with big groups of new people and you can't connect with people face-to-face. And so all you have outside of that is your words. And there are some people who do a great job on video. But even then, you need some kind of script, not necessarily so that you're reading it off like a robot, but there needs to be some kind of structure to the words that you're communicating, because otherwise nobody's going to know who you are. You're not going to be able to grab their attention long enough to present your sales message to them. And I think the one thing that most business owners get wrong is that they automatically think that because they care so passionately about what they do, that everybody else does as well. And the truth is that Nobody wants to listen to you. Like, everybody's so busy and wrapped up in their own problems and their own lives that when they're scrolling through social media, they're not looking for you and your message. They're just looking for something that's going to excite them and interest them and grab their attention. And so if you don't know how to write copy, then you're never going to get that attention, and nobody's ever going to know what you do and how you can help them. So to me, it's the basis of everything. Obviously I'm biased, but I really do passionately believe that you could have the best product in the world, but if you can't market it, it's going to be a flop.
So what you're saying is then, if you want a good successful business, earn lots of money, then we've got to write good copy.
Or yes, I mean, if we're going to simplify it, yes, I would say yes, especially online. If you look at all of the, especially in the coaching world, the coaches that are making all the money are the ones that are either just naturally very good marketers, or they've dedicated a lot of time to learning the skill of marketing, or they're outsourcing that to professional marketers. And most of the businesses that I work with will actually have these enormous teams of marketers behind the guru, if you want to call them that. So, for example, I do a lot of work with this with one business, and they've got the guru at the top, and then behind him there's like three copywriters, there's a marketing manager, there's a content writer, there's a video script writer, there's There's a website designer. So all you're seeing as a coach kind of starting out is the guy at the front, and you think, oh, he's doing all this stuff. He's got a podcast. He's got a YouTube channel. He's got his LinkedIn profile. He's got his Facebook group. But actually, he isn't really doing any of that stuff. There is somebody writing the webinar script for him. He appears on the webinar and delivers it and brings his personality out. But all of that, there's like this whole marketing machine going on in the background. So I'm not saying most people need that, but like if you want to get to that kind of scale, then marketing is absolutely essential. Like you can't grow your business without it.
Yeah, it makes sense. So we both changed what we originally set out to do in business. And it always pains me when I hear people say, well, I can't change now, you know, I've been at this for so long. What advice would you give someone who's also thinking, do you know what, I really want my own business, what I'm doing now is not for me, I'd like to do this?
I think a lot of people coming from corporate, I know that, and you obviously heard the same advice as well, that it's career suicide to change your jobs. Or I worked in banking for a long time, and what I do now is completely different. And lots of people say to people, I don't have any contacts and I don't have any experience, so how can I go out on my own? But I don't have any contacts and any experience at all. I've built everything from zero, from dust. And it takes work, but if it's something that you're really passionate about, I remember when I was in corporate, I was so bored. Every day felt like 10 years of my life. It was so boring. And the clock just seemed to stop every day when I was sitting in the office. And now that I'm doing what I love, the time just goes so fast. It gets to the end of the day, I'm like, oh no, where's it gone? And it makes such a difference. I'm so much happier. I wouldn't trade this in for the world. And so I think if you can get over that fear of going out on your own, and I know for a lot of people, obviously money is a concern, but you can, if you're willing to put in the work, have a side hustle. You can carry on doing your day job and build your business up in the evening. And like both Helen and I have small children, so I, for the most part, until very recently, have been a full-time mum to three children, and everything that I've done has been in the evening after they've gone to bed or at the weekends. And it's just, if it really matters to you, you will make the time. If you're not willing to put the time in, then I think you need to ask yourself, like, is it actually something that you really want? Because if you can't be bothered, then it's not going to happen for you. So it's definitely not the easy path, but it is, in my opinion, it's the best path.
No, I would tend to agree, because I'm the same. I work mostly evenings and a couple of hours in the day. And sometimes, you know, when the kids have gone to bed, I'll get my laptop out and Chris, my partner, will say, you're working again? I'm like, it doesn't feel like working. It doesn't feel like, oh God, I've got to do this work. I've got to get out of the way. It's almost like watching your favourite TV show. You're excited to do it because you're passionate about it and you want to do it. It's not a chore.
I totally agree. No, my husband doesn't get it either. He said, why would you want to do that when it's the weekend? Because I geek out on this stuff and it's fun.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so before, sorry to cut you off, I'm rambling on and on and on, so
we could talk for hours.
Before we end the show, we wanted to end with a little bit of a fun section, so we want to have a quick round of confidence rockstar would you rather. So I'm going to ask you first, Helen. This is just meant to be a bit silly. It may get cut out in the edit if it's totally naff. Okay, so Helen, would you rather be covered in fur or covered in scales?
I would say fur, because I'm always cold.
Would you rather wear a wedding dress in public every day or a bikini?
Wedding dress.
Okay, would you rather be completely forgotten or hatefully remembered?
Oh, forgotten, totally.
And would you rather be compelled to high-five everyone you meet, or be, this is actually quite making me laugh, be compelled to give wedgies to anyone in a green shirt?
Well, I kind of do give high-fives to everyone I meet already.
I could totally picture that, actually.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, that's all my would you rathers for you.
So, would you rather never drink alcohol again or never eat your favourite food?
I would, to be honest, I'm so boring. I would quite happily give up alcohol The only thing I drink, and I don't want to sound like a total snob, is I'll occasionally have a glass of champagne because I enjoy the taste of it. But I get such bad
hangovers. I've always drink champagne.
Oh yeah, that's all I drink. Like once a year. My hangovers are so bad, and I get hungover after one glass that I can't be bothered anymore. It's not worth it. So yeah, I couldn't give up my favourite food.
Since kids, I don't think I've ever had a hangover because I can't bear it. I cannot bear a hangover in kids.
I'm so the same.
Would you rather have cat claws for hands or cow hooves for feet?
I think I'd rather have cow hooves for feet.
What's wrong with the poor cats?
They're just very limiting, I think. I don't think you can type very well with cat claws.
Because I could imagine cow hooves are not limiting at all. Would you rather, I think I might know the answer to this, would you rather read a brilliant book or watch a great movie?
Definitely read a book. I'm sorry, I'm not a film watcher at all.
To be fair, neither am I. I can't sit still long enough.
I'm the same. I end up, while the film's on, I end up getting a book out. So thank you for joining us for our very first episode of the Confidence for Rockstar Marketers podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your valuable time and attention. And now that you've had time to get to know us better over the coming weeks, we're going to introduce you to some amazing guests with expertise in all areas of online marketing and entrepreneurial mindset. We're really excited about the conversations we've got lined up for you, and we know you're going to get a ton of value from them. So make sure you join us again next time. And thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to keep up to date with all our future episodes, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and make sure you leave us a 5-star review. Or share us with a friend that you think will benefit from our content.